How many of you have ever been given advice? Anybody? What about when you were getting ready for something big in your life, some kind of change or some kind of thing, someone told you what it was going to be like? Anybody? And how many of you listened to them? We never really do we? When people have gone through different stages of life before us, they often will have things to say. They will sort of predict for us, oh, this is what might happen. You can think of graduating from high school, going off to college, your first real relationship, you know, all those different things, a child coming, your first child, going through any experience you can think of, first job, you know, all those things. There's often wisdom that is imparted to us. But sometimes it's hard to really hear it. It's hard to listen or to get enough perspective to say, okay, you might be right. Prophets often tell the truth. Prophets, as in Isaiah, or the other prophets that have arisen in the scriptures, are ones that come and tell something truthful. They often aren't telling the future, but they're telling the truth. You're not righteousness. You're not righteous. You're not this. You're sinning. You've lost your ways. There's too much crime. There's too much corruption. These are the things that are said throughout the Old Testament as we get to this. And so John comes to us in the scripture, starting off in a very pastoral way with the people who are around him. You brood of vipers. By the way, this is not a good way to start a vestry meeting or a pastoral conversation with someone that you're having a coffee with. You brood of vipers, you sinful people, repent. Repent and return to the Lord. What is John doing? John is the wild man. John is the wild person out in the wilderness who is eating locusts and honey, who's walked away from convention. And is someone that people go to because he seems to have something going on. You remember in that movie, Forrest Gump, when Forrest starts walking? He doesn't ever actually say it, or he's running, sorry. He's running, and he keeps running all over the country, and he gets this huge beard, and you know, the whole crowd's behind him, and he stops. You're like, wait, he's going to say something. He says, well, I think I'll go home now. What? You know. We seek that out more than we know. We often look for someone who's a little bit outside to maybe be able to reflect to us something that's true. And John says to those gathered around him, you're lost. Your lives are filled with sin. Come and repent. Be made new. And by the way, someone bigger than me is coming. There is a change. He is being truthful and being a prophet, and bidding them to prepare, to get ready, to open themselves, to clear their heads, to be ready to receive Christ. Take a deep breath. Changes you, doesn't it? To take a deep breath is to take in oxygen, to relax your body for just a moment. Now, a few weeks ago during a sermon, I made a really loud noise and scared everybody. I'm not going to do that today. But if something were to happen right now, like a lion were to walk across that window and you saw it, what would happen to you? Or if, like happened a couple of weeks ago, a car came barreling down Antioch and started to head towards that window and you saw it, what would happen? We would get fearful, wouldn't we? Or if somebody comes at us or something happens, we sort of get filled with fear, and a certain part of our brain sort of takes over and you get very alert. And you get ready and your muscles kind of tense up. You know what I'm talking about? And it's that fight or flight response. You're either kind of ready to go at it and you're ready to run as quick as you can. And sometimes we don't always realize just how caught up in that moment we are and how we might be in that sort of constant state of fear and anxiety. John is warning about that, because when we're in a constant state of fear and anxiety, what can we think about? Can we wax eloquently about the philosophical conversations of the day? Can you have a meaningful conversation with someone that you love? Can you even be gentle or kind? Maybe. Or maybe you're more concerned with your own survival. And John is warning and saying, you're in the state of sin. You're in the state, you aren't thinking of the larger things. You aren't focused on what's right. And I say all that to sort of get us into that frame of mind about how we need to breathe and to prepare. Isaiah lays out this incredible image of what some has called the peaceable kingdom. A kingdom that works differently. You know, if we think about the images, it sort of causes cognitive dissonance, right? The lion laying down with the lamb. It'd make a good YouTube video, right? A child who can sit over the adder's hole. I mean, you know, putting a child by where a poisonous snake is. Sure, that's not going to cause fear. These ideas that Isaiah says, this is what God's kingdom is going to be like. It's going to be like all the things that you've learned and expected will not be that way anymore. Bears and cattle will lay down together and eat grass. This is what the kingdom of God will be like. This is what that place will be like, that place of peace. And I think the people who might have been hearing Isaiah, who would have known those images better than we do as city dwellers, as urban, you know, suburbanites, would have been struck by what was being said. And so what is it that we're preparing for? What is that kingdom that we say is so peaceable? In a couple of weeks, we're going to have one of my favorite services of the year, the 4 o'clock service on Christmas Eve. It's the children's Christmas pageant. It's always a lot of fun, and it makes great pictures, and you never quite know what's going to happen. We kind of have an open pageant, so anybody who shows up that day, if they haven't had a chance, they can be a sheep, you know, which creates great chaos. And you never quite know what's going to happen. I remember one year when the angel Gabriel had come down and had the star and was sitting there in sunglasses and had kind of leaned over, you know, very angelic, sleeping, you know. Sometimes Mary and Joseph aren't so sure about each other. You know, the lambs are running off, you know, sometimes they tussle, you know. It's a beautiful little moment of sort of Norman Rockwell sort of scene. And we do that to tell the story and to help us get into it, but sometimes I think it misses what's really happening. So what is it we're preparing for? What are these deep breaths for? What is this idea of God's kingdom? And what we say is that Mary and Joseph, who are journeying from a faraway land, who are refugees in the scripture sense, that have come from Egypt, that are coming back home because the government has decreed they come, who are in their 9th month of pregnancy, who are journeying in strange places and at risk, when it comes time, need a place to stay. And the best they can find is not with family, is not in, you know, Marriott Suites, not at a birth center, at a hospital, it's in a barn. Now, most of us here have gone to barns, right, for wedding receptions recently? And they're cool, right? They have this old stuff hanging up, and that's not really the barn that we're talking about. Have any of you been in a real barn with animals that hang out? It's got a smell. And there's bugs. It's not a pleasant place. And we say, this is where Jesus comes into the world. Jesus, the Christ child, Jesus, the Son of God. We say, in this place, as a refugee, as one wandering, as one away from family, this is where Jesus comes. And I think what's often lost is the power of what's being said. Jesus comes in the messiness of life. to bring peace through us, through his message, through his teaching, through his life, to bring us peace that passes all understanding and enters our life to be with us. This makes us different than any other religion, really, to say that God has come to be in the midst, not in some glorious palace, not in some glorious place, but in the barn, in the hay, with the animals, to be right next to us. So take a deep breath. What are you preparing for? If you get out into the roads in the next, you know, few weeks, if you hit any of the major roads that go by the shopping centers, you're going to find out about traffic, right, that other parts of the country have. If you go to a store or to a place, you'll often see longer lines, and people get impatient. They get frustrated and sort of worked up. People are busy getting lots of things done, getting ready for all kinds of different things, and yet in the midst of that, we're called in Advent to take that deep breath and to prepare for the Christ child. And so for us, it is to prepare spiritually, to open our hearts, to open our minds, to open to the presence of God, to God's peaceable kingdom. I think it's a tough task, but it's so important. And this is where it gets sort of difficult, because when we say, oh, when you get there, you'll understand. I don't know that I've always gotten there, but I certainly try. But to take those deep breaths and to begin to see something that we hear in the scripture that's often missed, when John proclaims the kingdom of God has come near you. That the kingdom of God, that vision of Isaiah, that person in Christ has come near you. If we can see it. So how do we get out of that fearful place? How do we get out of that stressful sense of the world? How do we get out of that sin, as John would proclaim? How do we get out when we're only thinking about ourselves? I think we breathe. We pray. We think about what God has done, and we prepare. And by doing so, we can open up before us the presence of God's kingdom. Someone's going to need you to do that for them. Someone's going to need you to bring that kingdom present to them. In some way, you're going to be asked to be that lion laying down with the sheep. And that's when it really begins to happen. So John says, prepare the way. Get ready. For the kingdom of God is very near. So breathe. So you can see it. And Christ will come, Emmanuel, to be with us in the messiness of our life. Amen.